Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I'm not much, and I don't have much understanding. I do know that, but I do know the Lord Jesus, and I know He loves me, and I love Him, and I know He's in me and through me and with me. And occasionally, He'll utilize my vessel, utilize my limited understanding to help somebody. You know, and that's all that matters to me. Amen. If I could help somebody learn something about Jesus, learn something about the gospel, we could be looking so far out there that we miss what's right under our feet. The Bible said, despise not the little things. And sometimes we are so toiling in the larger things that we stumble and trip over the little things. And those little things are very important to God. Very, very important. You know, Brother Chuck and I visited a little bit today. We're speaking a little bit about so many people, not calling names or personalities, didn't even do so, but talking about the people that sat under the same pastor that he sat under and I sat under. And think about their fruit and think about their endeavors. Think about where they're at and what they're doing, what they've changed, what they've compromised, and what they've turned away from. It's very alarming. You know, today's the end of the world, according to many. And, you know, there could be something very, very significant take place today. I'm sure it is the end of the world to some today. But, you know, there could be something that changed today. Just because the people were looking to this day, there could be something to take place that is very significant in the overall move and plan of God. And the people may not even see it. But the world may have changed. Totally different. I believe that we're on the threshold of some changes. I see some things in the spirit, and I've commented on them numerous times over years and months, but I've shared things with you from the sacred desk, not in a veil. I've unveiled it, and I spoke about it, and they've come to pass. I can go into people, some of your families. I can go into things where I've offered exhortations and warnings, and they didn't take heed because I'm too small. And they didn't take heed, but they've come to pass. The things have absolutely came to pass. Right down exactly. And I try to spare as much as I can people, personalities. I try to, when I say speaking in a veil, I try to veil things where instead of calling names out and calling people out, I do try to do that. But then yet, not veiling the things of the change or changes of progression. You know, when we talk about a sevenfold light and getting brighter and brighter, and we talk about gross darkness. It talks about how it's getting darker and darker at this time. We can talk about light getting brighter and dark getting darker, you know, and it's happening at the same time, depending on which end of the spectrum you're going to. And deception is so much today. You know, a very terrible thing to be is overconfident in any realm, natural, physical, spiritual, being overconfident. It's not good. What should we have confidence in? Christ. Christ, the Lord, His Word. We can put confidence in the Word of God. Anything outside of the Word, you can't put confidence in. You know, you can put confidence in a preacher. You can put confidence in a church, in a denomination. You put confidence in those things, they'll let you down. They'll fail you. They change. God's Word doesn't change. Same to every generation. You can put confidence in a minister in the measure of Christ that you see in their life. You put confidence in that and you'll be okay. But you put confidence in a man, he's going to let you down. And if you put too much confidence in a man, God will remove the man. He's removed great men of God because of those things, because people put the confidence in the man instead of in the Christ. It causes complications and problems. We're going to read some scripture this evening and see if the Lord will help us and speak to us tonight. As I always do, I try to bring things to a present-day truth. You know, we want the truth. Amen? The thing is I could talk about a truth of the Word of God, Spirit of Truth, and I could talk about it, how it was a truth 2,000 years ago. But to bring it into the present, then we're changing personalities. You realize that? Then they might have been talking about Jesus walking among the earth, but today they might be talking about you walking the earth. I'm saddened to say that so oftentimes we fail to remember our responsibility. You do. I do. We really fail to realize the responsibility that we have. We take for granted that people are going to find God, but God might be utilizing you to bring the people to God. if you're not walking or at least making a sincere effort, then you might cause somebody to stumble at the opportunity to come to God. I've heard the old expression say, well, I can't hear what you say because I see what you do. I could take that outside of the spiritual realms and speak about many things I've witnessed over the years. Sometimes we think that we have the right things to say, then that makes it okay, but it's the right things that we do. We stand before the Lord for deeds, not sayings. Not saying that your thoughts, they do need to be established, but so oftentimes, I made this statement, I heard some preacher say it or something, or read it somewhere, but it said it's easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live one. Yeah, that's the truth. I can get up here and wear you out and preach and shout and yell and everything and die and go to hell. I can get up here and preach at you like I'm wearing you out and I'm the guy getting wore out. I've got to align up with this just as well. I'm more so accountable, when it's coming forth from my mouth and up here and preaching this word. And if I'm judging you, then I'm bringing judgment to myself according to the Bible I read. So maybe I could just change my doctrines a little bit and start watering things down. And hey, praise God, everybody's all right. Man, we just love Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to do that for a while, take a little vacation. Just, man, glory to God. But I'm fearful, brethren. I'm watching people that sit under ministering. And I know that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is going forth. And they mock it and lightly esteem it and go on their ways in their own mind, their own thoughts. You say, well, you're reproving. I'm not reproving. I'm just speaking of what I'm witness, what I see. And people wonder why sometimes Brother Rob preaches the way he preaches. But I see things that are, a physician, if he sees sickness in a body, he's going to do something, isn't he? He's going to start cutting. He's going to start ministering. He's going to start applying or doing things. And a preacher, what's he going to do? He's going to bring the word. The word sets free. The word delivers. But you have to have ears for the word. There's a famine right now in this day, right now, for the hearing of the word. It doesn't mean the word's not going out. The word is going out, but there's a famine here. They don't want to hear the word. They would rather get a lukewarm doctrine, a lighthearted message, or something that tells them, hey, everything's okay. Jesus loves you. It's all right, but I'm telling you, when the Bible said small flock, think about Noah's time. Look at all the people. They thought they was okay, but look what took place. Look at Jesus' time when he walked among them. I mean, very people that even raised up and healed and done like that. We think of the 10 lepers. Only one came back to thank him. Where'd the other ones go? They went back about their own. And I'm telling you, everything is a pattern. Everything's a repeat. It's just going down the same things. There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, I want some new revelation. There's no new revelation, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, everything has been revealed. And the thing is we need to understand what has already been revealed. And so oftentimes, people want to hold everybody accountable for what they know. I'm not accountable to what you know, nor are you accountable to what I know, but you're accountable to what the Spirit of God has showed you and revealed to you. Much given, much required. If he didn't give it, it ain't going to matter. There's a lot of doctrine out there. It's not of God. There's a lot of people that have doctrines. There is a place in the Scriptures that said not to turn away even from the doctrine of men taught us. There's some negative things taught about doctrines of men, but it's talking about some things that we can't even turn away these doctrines that they taught and set before us. So we got to be careful. Let's turn over to John, the 6th chapter. Begin there at the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread, and these may eat? And these he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, and nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I know it's a very common passage of scriptures that you've probably read many times through your Christian years. But let's go on here just a moment. I like the Word of God. It's always fresh. It's always alive. It's always a quickening in it. I don't care how many times you read it, but it should encourage your spirit and knowing that God's the same to every generation. And He wants to so oftentimes multiply and take what little that you have and utilize it for His glory and for His kingdom. You know, this story here, I'm going to go on here in a moment, but reading this story here, you know, about this, so oftentimes we wouldn't even have made an attempt to do anything because we looked over the multitude and it said we saw this large number of people and said, man, we can't do nothing, let's don't even try. But they took what they had in hand. Brother Chuck was speaking about this today when he spoke to Moses and they came up to the Red Sea. What did he have in his hand? He had one thing in his hand, a staff. And he told him what to do with it. He utilized what he had and parted the sea, and they went on. So many times we create giants, and we said, man, we can't do this. Well, you know, this is a mighty miracle, Brother Rob. 5 loaves and, you know, feeding 5,000. Well, yeah, it's a great miracle. I understand that. But let's talk about little miracles for a moment. Sometimes we look at these big, great things and, you know, feeding the 5,000. What about feeding 5? Why do we overlook feeding 5? Well, I just don't have enough money to get through Christmas. I can't even buy gifts or nothing. And then you got a neighbor that maybe is going without or maybe needs something. And while we're reading and talking about the big miracle or these big things and we can't even share with that. We talk about the awesomeness and the greatness of God and allow Him to add an increase or put ourselves in a position that possibly He could do something for us by stepping out a little bit, by going a little bit beyond our means and beyond our measure. Have you ever tried it? Or do you got everything worked out before you even start? Well, a wise man looks well to his going, you know. Well, praise God. Keep on looking well to your going. But you know what? You follow in the leading of God and the Spirit of the Lord. He'll take you into places that you know that you're not sufficient. You're not capable. You don't have the means. You don't have the funds. Then He gets the glory. But sometimes we never do that. We just do what we can within our mind, our intellect, and we just think, this is what we're going to do. I'm just talking about human nature. Well, you're wearing us out, brother. No, I'm talking about human nature. This is what you're made out of. This is how you've learned. This is how you've been taught. You know, you don't get in the car and say, well, I've got an empty tank and I'm going to drive to the next town over. You say, I ain't got enough, so I'm not going to go. Well, I understand that. There's common sense in that. And this is the way you've learned and the way you've trained. But on the other hand, don't limit God. You could limit God. Got all your T's crossed and I's dotted. You can't do anything for God. We have to find the will of mind of the Lord. Amen. Let's read on here just a little more. Verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Have you ever had an experience with the Lord where you found yourself afraid? Have you ever had a coming of the Lord to you like that? I know people talk about, oh yeah, you know, this and that. And I'll tell you, I've had some experiences and they were frightening to me. They frightened me so bad that sometimes I would come out of the vision or come out of the trance or different things because it was so fearful. Brother Pike said it scared him. Brother Branham said it scared him. I don't know if scared is the word, but I'm saying it frightened them so bad. They stood awestruck, couldn't move. Brother Pike talked about how the presence of the Lord picked him up and bowed him over and put him on his face. I had the Lord put me on the ground one time and I couldn't move, nothing. I thought, am I paralyzed? I was frozen. And I could pray. I said, okay, Lord, you got my attention. It gets your attention. And I was held there. What's going on here? You know, sometimes God wants to reveal and show himself. And any time you come into a real presence of the Lord, it don't make you big, it makes you small. It makes you feel very little when you really get into the presence of the Lord. It makes you feel weak. It makes you feel ignorant. Because when you're standing with Him, the Creator of all things, how many raindrops hit the dirt in North Carolina today? Oh, I'm smart. I'm sharp. I can figure it out. I can Google it. No, you can't. But God knows. Amen. How many knows how many hairs I have on my head? Mine would be a little easier to count maybe than yours. But still, I don't care if there's 10,000 or 100,000 up there. You don't know. But He knows. Amen. You see, it's not even an effort to Him to know. And the things that we apply and make effort is absolutely effortless to Him. For me to go to California, it's an effort. I got to check flights. I got to get my car ready to go and do this and that. He's there. You know, we're talking about a mighty God. And He's taken people. We could talk about Philip here. I mean, it was a time that it was translated. If that's the proper term, he was taken from one place to another, found so many days' journey away. You know, we could talk about these kind of things. And, you know, where and who are we at any given time to boast about anything at all when we talk about how awesome this God is? I mean, this earth is His footstool. And we haven't even understand this earth. You know, we got probes going into the depths of this ocean. And they haven't even understood the things and the creatures that are on this earth. This is all natural stuff. Man hasn't even perceived the natural things, let alone the spiritual things. You know, what are you trying to do? Express to everybody how ignorant you are. No, I'm not expressing how ignorant. I'm expressing how great God is. And if my best brilliance and all the wisdom of all mankind, all the Einsteins and all the brilliant ministers and all the prophets and everything doesn't even come close to how awesome our God is. And when we realize how small we are, then we realize how big He is. We could respect Him and have an expectation of Him. But you know, we as Christians have learned to walk in certain things of only our understanding. Only what we can see, perceive, and things, this is what we've learned to do. We have learned to do that. We call it wisdom, but we limit God. Again, as I started asking, you know, who has met the potentiality of a Spirit-filled life? What is the potentiality of a Spirit-filled life? Well, you say, well, Brother Rob, I'm Spirit-filled. Have you met the potential of what that means? I haven't. I'm pressing, maybe not pressing enough. I am making an effort. Maybe I'm not making a big enough effort. But I'm telling you, I can't boast. I can't stand before you and tell you how big and smart and great I am. Because I know how awesome my God is and how big He is. And when we lightly esteem Him, lightly esteem His Word, and we lightly esteem the commandments of God, and we go on our way and we work it out, we're an abomination. The reason we're an abomination is because we think we're smarter than Him. You know, he says, well, don't you think that I laid the guidelines down in my word of the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk, and the way we perform, and the things that we do? The Spirit of life, brothers and sisters, it may not ever raise you up to something to be recognized or esteemed as anything great, but you got life, abundant, eternal, holy, and godly life. You've got this life in your spirit, and it's through you, and you are one with God. And nobody might not ever know your name. You may never have a program. You may never write a track. You may never even be recognized. You might have a ministry and a calling in the closet ministry. And you pray for people that don't even know that you're praying for them. And you're numbered in life, eternal, godly. And you're recognized of the Lord. And He knows you by name. And you know His name. Amen. That's something that's so great. But see, it doesn't move humanity and mankind. They want to have their name up in lights. They want to be esteemed. They want to be recognized. They want somebody to be talking about and glorifying. And when you don't do that, then they draw up with you, and then they make you bad. And when they make you bad, it makes them feel justified. It don't work that way. Life is an awesome thing, the spirit life, eternal life, godly life, holy life. It's a wonderful thing. We don't watch, brethren. We don't watch things that we should be seeing and watching, perceiving and comprehending and understanding. But see, we've got ideas what the end of the world is. It's a big catastrophic thing. Yes, there's going to be a change to this world. There's going to be some catastrophic events happen to the United States of America. I promise you that. But let me tell you, something happens first in the spirit. Brother William Branham said the end of the world was 1977. Brother Pike said it ended. What ended? See, they didn't see it. The government didn't see it. He said the government of America is over and it's done, it's ended. But it's still going on. We got a president named Obama today. Well, Brother Pike was a false prophet. He was a liar, you say. No, see, you don't understand spiritual things. The thing is, and you say, well, you're just going to make it for he's okay. He'd made a prediction or maybe said things like, and it isn't right, and it just proves that he wasn't of God. Well, many people judge things that way, but it isn't that way whatsoever. He made a statement what took place in 1977 when they put Jimmy Carter in. Said it had to do with the JC or, you know, and you say, oh, that's really fishing there. But he raised up out of Georgia, a little peanut farmer, and they put him all the way up to this high office. And he was a president proclaiming to be a born again. And there was a born again move that started in 1977. A real thrust that went through the colleges, went through a lot of things. A big born again move. And you say, well, what did that have to do with? It had to do with an ending and a closing out. Don't you realize that when you're born again, your life is ended? You say, what do you mean it's ended? It's just really begun. It never had a beginning. But I'm talking about your life ended. Now the thing is when we start talking about what do you mean by the end of the world? Well, see, there was the Bible said worlds without end. So what are you going to do with that? Worlds without end. But you see, these worlds that are ending and beginning, there has to be one world finishing up for another one to begin. And you could be totally excluded from the next world. Well, I'm just want to make heaven. Well, the thing is to make heaven, sometimes there's accomplishments and things that have to be done in this world. Do you realize that? Do you know what obedience to the gospel is? And obedience to Christ is? You know, we have to be obedient to Him. Just be careful and listen because there's things that go forth that are insignificant to you. They don't mean anything to you. And you could mock it all you want. But I'm telling you, I watch things. I made prophecies from this sacred desk and they're mocked. I didn't come to pass. Sometimes they don't come to pass for 10 years, 15 years, sometimes 20 years. Brother Pike had made prophecies and it took 25 years to come to pass. As the man stood on the golf course mocking God and said, Brother George said, I had a death sentence. He goes, man, I'm full of health. Man, I feel better than I've ever felt like this. And they buried him in 6 months. Had cancer in his body right then, just eating him and consuming him. Had it in his body mocking a man of God. Bible said God's not mocked. I'll tell you, that's when God is moved, when you mock him. You say, what do you mean mock him? Lightly esteeming. I got no respect for him anyway. I know too much about him. It doesn't matter my failures. It doesn't matter my weaknesses. It doesn't matter my stumbling, brothers and sisters. If I could yield myself to the Spirit of God and he speaks, he's not speaking for me. He's speaking for your life, for your soul, and for your sake. That's why he's speaking. I mean, Brother Rob Coons may bust hell wide open. But you know what? It doesn't change one iota what the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forth in this church. The accountability to you, to the scriptures, and to the word changes absolutely nothing. I got the spirit of truth in me in life. I stumble and I fail, but he works with me. Yeah, you take that up with him. If he has one vessel to honor, another dishonor, you take that up with him. Amen. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to walk and do the best I can. I know you're bigger, greater. More understanding, more revelation. I'm too repetitive. I speak the same thing over. Well, God gives me something. I don't speak what I want to. I could put some fancy things together and come here and hold your interest, but that does nothing. I know too many people that they're interested in that stuff. Boy, they want to hear this. And boy, they talk about this out here. And hey, I like to talk about those things. But when you ain't got life in you, there's something needs to be spoke about. And that's just simply the simplistic things of God to come in and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The old Pentecostal mess has been preached for years and years. Oh, it sounds so repetitive. Man, come be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you know something, Brother Sim? When you get filled with that Spirit and filled with that life, then he can take you into things. And then when you see him, it's taken in by the Spirit. When you see it through the intellect, all it is gibberish. I'm sorry to say. Just a sounding brass and a tingle. That's all it is. Boy, Brother Branham, let me tell you what he done. Let me tell you what Brother Pike done. Let me tell you what Brother Paul done. Let me tell you. You know, brother, that's great. But brothers and sisters, what have we done? You know what? I'm just because I know what great things Brother Paul done. Or because I know what great things this minister done. You think that justifies me in the kingdom? Well, I know Jesus came and died for me. Do you think that justifies me? Because I know Jesus came and died for me? Do you think that justifies? What justifies us, brothers and sisters, is the Spirit of the Word. And when the Spirit of the Word comes in and fills us, then we're justified because we're predestined in Him. And the only way we could be predestined in Him is by being one with Him. If you're not one with Jesus, you got nothing. I'm sorry. That's it. That's where life's at. Life's ain't in Brother Rob. Life ain't in anybody out there. Life's in Jesus and Him alone. There's no other name given among men except Jesus. And we've got to get in Him. That's pretty simple. You know, but we always climb up another way. We got to come with some other revelation, some other thing, some other mystery. And we want to make it so mystical that we feel justified because it's so mystical we'll never find it because it's just so out there. Brothers, it's so simple. It's hid from the only wise and prudent. It's only hid from intellectual people that are climbed up another way and they just want to prove that they're greater in some kind of a mental capacity and no more. Brothers and sisters, it's not what you know that saves you. It's who you know. You understand that? It's Him. He's salvation. He's life. Come to the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and then He can take you into things. Otherwise, you don't have the foundation to go in those things. I taught things and was teaching on those things, but I found a lack of the foundation. They took it to the wrong way. Brother Pike, I always wondered why he'd say, he goes, oh, yeah, go ahead and put that in your back pocket. Take it. You got it. You know, it don't work that way. It's life, abundant, eternal, holy, godly life. We have to be careful. There's things that are taking place in the spirit realm, the end of the world today. Well, world's ending today, brother. You say, well, Brother Rob, why do you keep saying that? I'm just telling you what all the people in this world are saying. It's the end of the world. They've had many ends. But what is the end of your world? When do you make a transition in your mind and you step into another world and reject this world? Can you reject this world that I'm in? Can you reject this world that I'm teaching? Can you reject this world I preach, choose another world? You sure can. But has your world got a foundation? Does your world have life in it? Is your world a deceived world, a world of deception? When are you accountable? When are you not accountable? I've sat with people sitting at a table and their world ended right before my eyes. Just like that. I watched it end right then. They went on in life. They went on and they did things. They started business and done things, but I knew that their world ended right then. Lord told me, He said, don't you ever mention my name to that man again. I want my name never spoken in that man's presence ever again. And I mean, it cut me. It hurt me. I mean, it was physically painful that I could not speak. You see, and people think that as long as there's a heartbeat and breath going in and out of lungs, that they've got life or they got an opportunity of repentance or got an opportunity. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You know, you watch these natural things that the children are learning, and because of the internet, because of the powers of electronics, kids are coming to things that they should not even be looking or into or knowing about until way off later, but they're little children to come to stuff. What is this saying? The accountability is coming lower and lower and lower. And God's having His witness. There's people coming to accountability. And there's accountability, and people are mocking and lightly esteeming the Word of God and the things of God. And they're choosing another form of another path. The path that they've chosen is talking about Jesus. The path that they've chosen is very religious. The path that is chosen has no restriction. You see, the true path of God is very sorrowful. The true path of God is very painful. It's a path of suffer. It's a path of anguish. It's a path of travail. It's a path of mourning. It's a path of crucifixion. It's a path of being hated in your own household. It's a path of being crucified all the day long. But see, nobody wants to teach that or speak about that because we've got another path. It's a path of charismatic. Man, praise God, I'm saved, I'm born again. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And it's a path that allows you to express your lust, express your desires. When I say lust, don't go to sexual perversion. I'm talking about the lust of humanity and man, the things of this world. There's no end to it. There's no end to lust. You know, you want, you desire, and you seek after. Want, desire, and seek. Want, desire, and want more, and bigger, and faster, and this and that. That's lust. And it can consume you. And it can destroy you. I mean, there's people that lust after the Word of God, and it destroys them because they take it to the letter instead of by the Spirit. And the letter of it, they just get puffed up, and it's getting their head puffed up, and not their spirit. It's not catching their spirit away, it's catching their mind away, but not into heavenly places, into an intellectual web of intellect that destroys and kills. And they'll quote the Word and speak the Word and say this and quote preachers, this and that, and they are consumed in their own mind, their own thoughts, their own intellect. You see, the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, isn't complicated. We want to make the mind of Christ so far out there and make it so mystical. But the mind of Christ is love. It loves its enemy. It does good. You know, I mean, we hear these things, but you know, why do we keep discounting the mind of Christ then? Why do we discount what born again is and how born again people do and how born again people act? Do born again people deny the word, reject the word? Do they walk in another doctrine or another gospel? You can't do it. You can't leave this. You can't depart the holiness of the doctrine of God. When you depart holiness, brother, he is the spirit of holiness. When you depart holiness, you depart God. I'm sorry. You will never know God or see God outside of holiness. Now, there's people out there that haven't come to holiness, and they have a relationship with God. But they are going to be drawn by the Spirit of God into holiness, or they'll be cut off, and they won't make it in. Without holiness, you cannot know, see God. You say, well, I think it's just faith. Faith brings you to holiness. Faith unveils. What is faith? We've read it in the Scriptures 100,000 times. We've quoted it that many times. Faith brings a substance. You could talk about, I'm born of God. I'm born again. I'm a son of God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, then if that only way that you could have had all those things is by faith. Salvation cometh by faith. So if you're professing that you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that means you got faith. Okay, then what is faith? Substance. Come on now, can anybody contest that? Faith is substance. What do you mean substance? You know, if I said I'm a millionaire, I could talk about it and tell you I'm a millionaire, but every time we go to the coffee shop, you're buying. You know, I'm worth $1 million, and you know, every time you're taking care of me and you have to pay my cab fares or pay my gas and all that, you say, man, I'd sure like to see some substance of your $1 million. What is the substance of salvation, brethren? Fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? You see, the fruit of the Spirit is an active thing. You know, if I go out to a fruit tree and it's got fruit on it, that's the substance. Is that right? If I pull fruit from a tree, it's a substance. If there's no fruit on the tree, it's taken axe to it. It's hewed down. I mean, yeah, this is great, deep revelation. But I'm saying, why don't we say these things? We say we're born again because we got a confession? Or are we born again because we got fruit? Fruit is the product. Fruit is the manifestation. Fruit is the substance. So I could say I sat with the right preacher. I could say I walked with the right preacher. I could say I'm in the right message. I'm in the right doctrine. I've got the revelation of the Lord. I've got this deep understanding. But if I don't got the fruit of the Spirit, it profit me zero, nothing. So what's more important? Is it more important to know something or to have fruit? And what is fruit? You see, knowledge is going to bring fruit and understanding is going to bring fruit. And revelation is going to... I'm not against learning, teaching, and talking about the mysteries and the things of God. But if they're not producing fruit, then what good is it? If I'm talking about the depths of God and it's not producing fruit, then what am I talking about? If it doesn't produce something in your life, then you've got nothing. There's too many people that I know that sit under Brother George Pike, and I see their quotes, and I see their writings, I see their mind, and I see the things that they're talking about, and I'm saying, where is the fruit? Where's the substance of your godliness? Where's the substance of your holiness? Where's the substance of your revelation? Where's the substance of your mysteries? What is a mystery? Is it something that we're going to talk about that we just awestruck like, oh gosh, I don't understand that, but that's so cool. You know, and we just, what is that? It's a deceiving demonic spirit. I watched people sit under Brother George and he'd be teaching and talking about things and go, whew, wow, whew. And they got nothing. They seen nothing, but this was just an experience. They wanted you to think that they got something. They wanted you to think that they heard something, but it was very evident in their life they had nothing. You got to get beyond the mysticism of this thing and get to the reality of this. Let me tell you, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've made it too complicated. It's not complicated. It's life. It's the spirit of life. It's the revealing of the invisible world in this present day and hour. It is the revealing of the love of God to humanity. It is the revealing to come walk among men, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be crucified, and for them to hate you when they have no reason. Have you had anybody hate you, has no reason to hate you? Have you ever had somebody hate you that you're doing good to, and that you're loving them and doing everything you know, and they hate you? This is the manifestation of the revelation of the Lord Jesus. This is why the Bible said rejoice on that day. It tells us to rejoice. This is how he's vindicated. But then yet, as I said, was praying today, I said, God, don't let me move by fleshly emotion. You see, fleshly emotion is not the spirit of Christ. Animosity, fleshly animosity, fleshly anger. How many times do you retaliate when somebody does you wrong? Is that Christ? Did Christ retaliate? Let me ask you, could he have? You know he could have. He could have spoke the world out of existence right then. He could have spoke their everything out just like that, but he didn't. You see, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? We've made it mystic. We've made it out there that it's unreachable. The revelation of Jesus Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you're walking in the Spirit, and you're led by the Spirit, and you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and God is manifesting in you, and people see the love of God, and you're loving people that hate you, and you're loving people that would as soon kill you, and you're doing good to them, there's your revelation of the Lord. And nobody wants that, and nobody desires that. People like to be recognized. Did Jesus want recognition? Why, if he wanted recognition, why, when he laid hands on them and healed them, he said, go and tell nobody. He wasn't looking for recognition. He had a purpose to do and knew what his purpose was. What is your purpose tonight, brothers and sisters? What is your purpose tonight? Is your purpose to be recognized, to be lifted up and esteemed as somebody special, somebody great? And if you're not being esteemed as somebody special and great, are you out of source and out of whack? Do you get a dull spirit on you because you're not being recognized of who you think that you are? You see, brother, that's not Christ. It isn't the Lord. We've got to find the mind of revelation, the mind of Jesus. And quit making it so complicated and realize that it's a simplistic life of walking in obedience to his scriptures with the joy of the Lord in your heart. You see, even though that it's a way of grief and suffering and sorrows, there's still a joy. It said they counted it joy when they were going out to be beaten for his name's sake. They found it joy because they were numbered with Christ. That's where the joy comes from. The joy isn't that they were recognized. The joy is that they were recognized in him. That's where the joy comes from. A great, awesome joy of the Lord. A little different than what you would call your happiness. But it's joy. Happiness won't bring you life. Happiness will not bring you salvation. Salvation may bring some happiness in your life. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that just living a Christian life is just to be spit and beat up. I'll tell you, there's joy. There's pleasure. In the walk, in the peace, and the thanks of God. But it's not the way the world is. The world has got a counterfeit to this. The religious world's got a counterfeit to this, what they call revelation, what they call Christianity. It's a totally different thing. We can't intermingle the lust of this world and the spirit walk with Christ. And when we start putting these things together, and we start intermingling them together, it has to do with the thunders. That has to do with the casting out of Lucifer. And when we start taking our mind and our thoughts and our wishes and our desires and start mixing it with the Word, and we start taking and making what we want to do, we make it holy or godly or religious because we're mixing the Word with it, that's the lukewarm vomit. That's what God hates. We can't do that. Let me tell you, God could have a desire for you. He could have something for you as a desire, something natural and carnal, that the way we would look at it in this world. That could be his desire for you, but he's got to get you in the place that you could receive it. That it could be a spiritual significance or emphasis to the overall plan of God. But the thing that you would call natural or the thing that you would call carnal, if it's in the wrong hands or in the wrong mind, it is a destroyer and death. But if it gets into the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, then it's life. And it brings substance and evidence and manifestation. That could be a natural carnal-minded banker. He could be a manifestation of the spirit world and spirit of God, utilizing him. Do you realize that? But then yet, then you could go lean on that and lose your soul. There's some wonderful things in the mind of Christ. Do you have that mind? Or do you have a religious mind that's replaced the mind of Christ? Do you have a trained mind? It's easy to train a mind and make it spiritual. Do you understand that? There's an easy way to take your mind and make it think that it's spiritual. But when you lean to your thoughts and your understanding, you'll die. I'm not to lean to my thoughts. I'm to cast my thoughts down and lean to his thoughts. Have you differentiated between his thoughts and your thoughts? We spend too much time doing what we want, desiring, and thinking what we want to do or what we want to be, that we don't have time for his thoughts. And we don't even see them when they come by. Do you realize how often his thoughts are coming through your conscience mind? Do you realize how often your thoughts are in your conscience mind? Which one are you yielding to? Which one are you listening to? Which one are you esteeming? When I say the word abomination, we can get into abomination because your thoughts have been trained to be religious thoughts. And you take your thoughts and you esteem them greater than God's thoughts. There's your abomination of desolation right there. And it could happen sitting in a table and never opening your mouth. And you're sitting there and you've esteemed your thoughts greater than his thoughts. And you absolutely may have just ended your world. Do you realize that? God's grace. But the grace is closing. Grace is ending up. Grace is going away. And you say, I don't think you can teach that or preach that. I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters. When the Bible talks about this gross darkness, the grace in this world is the spirit of life and light. And when the light pulls away, then the darkness comes in. I'm going to read on down here because I haven't got to where I wanted to be at yet. Verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land, whither they went the day following. Immediately. There was your first speedboat. I'll tell you what, Jesus with a rowboat without an oar could get you in that boat way faster and way further than you can with your 454, two of them. You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference between the two minds. You know, we said, I could achieve this and I got this thing. And you seek the understanding of where you are and you limited God. He walked on water, come out in a boat. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one wherein disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there come other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Have you ever had that experience? Oh Lord, you're here. They've had an experience like that in the upper room, didn't they? All of a sudden the door's bound and he's there, right? Have you experienced that in your life? When you was off in your own mind, your own thoughts, your own ways, and all of a sudden you found the Lord? Have you ever been in one of your ignorant rages? I know you've never had them. But you know, you get in your ignorant carnal mind and you have your ignorant little rage, and all of a sudden you find the presence of the Lord. You think, oh God, you're not supposed to be here. Oh Lord, I'm embarrassed. You need to be. If you're not experiencing these things I'm speaking about, then you're not sensitive enough to know when he's there. We shouldn't have these problems, these failures, these outbursts, or these things. But then all of a sudden you find the presence of the Lord. I could share things of my failures, of times of getting lighthearted and goofing around with people and stuff. And then the Spirit of the Lord speaks, and I'm supposed to speak this. And I'm thinking, oh my. Oh man, have I been there too many times. It's a shame. Well, they can't hear what I got to say, man. Over here cutting up and too much ignorance going on. You say, yeah, Brother Rob, you shouldn't be doing that. I say, yeah, and amen. But if you got enough understanding to know that I shouldn't be doing that, then why do you do it? You're going to be accountable for what you do, not what I do. Now, you can find fault with everything I do and know all my mistakes that don't justify yours. I say that often. Amen. Jesus answered them, verse 26, and saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Amen. Following for loaves and fishes. You ever been there? I know we're not honest enough to answer that, but yes. Brother Pike made a statement that everything man does is selfish. We've served God out of selfishness because we don't want to burn in hell. We serve God out of selfishness because we really, if you come to any understanding, I'm talking about the little baby understanding, find out that when you sow into the kingdom of God, he blesses you. Some people ain't even come to that understanding of revelation. I'll tell you, when God's word is real, it's hid from the wise and the prudent. But I'll tell you what, we do things out of selfish motivations. You know, as a man, fall in love with Jesus, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you'll do things out of the inspiration of the Spirit of God moving through you and in you with no expectation of return. But he returns. He gives mightily. You'll never do nothing as a labor unto God without him adding back a multitude to you. I promise you that. Unless you're trying to do it for another means. You could labor to be recognized or later to be better than somebody or be seen or esteemed. Then that's your reward. Amen. Do it in secret and then you'll find it. There's some things you can't do in secret. There's some things that are going to be seen. But you know, keep your spirit right and your heart right for God could get the glory. And labor not for the meat which perish, verse 27, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. It says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sent. Isn't that good? Oh, they're talking about Jesus. You're exactly right. That's exactly who they're talking about. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But who are you? Goes back to the message we ministered a few days back. Who are you? If you can't see Jesus today, then you're Antichrist. Do you realize that? The Bible said if you do not believe that Jesus is in the flesh, you're Antichrist. Is that Bible, brother? Now, you know what the Bible says, right? So Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sent. There's the work of God. He sent Brother Chuck to do all the things that he does that nobody knows who's doing it. He's got a website. I don't even want people to know that he's running it, but it's the work of God. Yes, he gets reward and labors for those things. There's the work of God, and that's the labors of God, and that's who God sent to do it. Well, that's insignificant, you might think. It isn't insignificant to him because that's the spirit that God gave him and that's the work of God. You see, and I might not be able to do what he's doing and he might not be able to do what I'm doing. I might not be able to do what John's doing. I might not be able to do what Gabe's doing. And you could reach people that I can't. So why would I esteem you of any lesser than I am? Because if I could be in the mind of Christ, I could see that it's very important, your part. And my part's going to lack if your part isn't done. So why would I hinder Brother John's part? Or why would I hinder Brother Gabe's part? When we realize that we are part of a many-member bond, we need one another. But when we get to a place that we separate ourselves and elevate ourselves to a place that we don't need a body, then we're in trouble. Do you understand that? I'll tell you, brother, it's important to realize the need that we have one for another. And when you separate from a brotherhood, is a dangerous, terrible thing. Why did Jesus gather a brotherhood when he was here? He's God. He didn't need nobody. Oh, he didn't? Then what did he toil through all those things with the disciples if he didn't need help? If he didn't need a brotherhood? If he didn't need a body? Why did he prepare them? Why did he send them forth? Why did he send them out? And if he didn't need no help and just needed you, then why did he call a fivefold ministry? And why did he set the motion and all these things in order? I'll tell you, when people come to a place they don't need a pastor or a minister, they're in trouble. You say, well, what about you, Brother Rob? I sought one. I had churches offered to me, numerous. You can ask my wife. I had people offering things to say, man, here. I said, absolutely not. I had to find a place that I could submit to because I had too many questions. I had enough understanding to know I had no understanding. That's an awesome understanding. Brother George said that over and over and over again. How many times did you hear him say, he said the beginning of understanding is to come to the understanding you have no understanding. Have you come to that? Which one of you have come to that? Come on now, honestly. Have you come to the understanding you have no understanding? And that's the beginning of understanding? And the beginning of life is to come to find out that you have no life and that there is no life except him. And then when you come to that and lose your life, then you have life? Come on, brother, that's the mind of God and the ways of God. The understanding of God is to understand you don't understand. But that don't ever work for a carnal mind. It don't ever work for envy and strife and jealousy. It doesn't work for humanity. It doesn't work that way. But you show weakness, God will show you strength. But you see, you got to understand weakness. I have people in my midst and in my presence or in this church and thing that think humility is weakness. I mean that. They think it's absolutely weakness. And they would never humble themselves. They have a form of humility, but it's a false humility. But I'm talking about a real humility. Can you fall before a brotherhood and say, my God, have mercy on me? Can you stand before a brother and say, my God, help me, Jesus, I need you. I need your anointing. I need your spirit. I need your strength. I need your love. I need your compassion. I need your wisdom. I need your mind. I need your understanding. I need everything you got. I'm nothing in myself and can do nothing. I can't help. I can't lead. I can't teach. I can't do nothing. Everything I touch, it make a mess out of things unless you're in it and you're involved in it. You know, you say, what is that, Brother Rob? You see, this is a mind that we got to come to, that we need God. We need His mind, His will, His thoughts, His intervention, His strength, His power, everything. We got to find that. We're talking about what the revelation of the Lord is. He can't reveal Himself until you're revealed. And when you're revealed, then He could be revealed after you're revealed. And when you're revealed, then you're going to say, oh my God, He is a son of perdition, and He dies, and then Christ lives. But He said He cannot be revealed until then. Let's go on here. I'm going to go on down a little bit. Okay, here we are, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He hath sent. If His word is the same to every generation, then how do I receive this word today? Are you pointing this to you, Brother Rob, or am I pointing to you? Who am I pointing this to? You see? And when I go back to the message, and I know I'm repetitive and I ain't got no understanding and stuff, but I say, when I go back to the message that the Lord brought forth, and He said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. This is right here in the thing. You see, I'll never know the potential of Christ in me unless I can see the potential of Christ in you. Because if I can see the potential of Christ in you, then I could be utilized of the Lord. But if I can't see the potential of Christ in you, then God has no work for me to do. I have nothing to do. If I cannot see beyond the veil of your flesh and see the potentiality of a spirit-filled life in you, then what would I be ministering for? Why would I even open my mouth for the gospel? If you're all beast and inferior to me, why would I even take time to speak to you? You understand that? Why would I exhort you? Why would I teach? And if I can't see the potentiality of Christ in you, then I'll never know who I am in Christ. Now, this is the scripture again right there. It says that ye may believe on Him who He has sent. Now, I know you're going to say, well, you're talking about Jesus there. And I say, yea and amen. But Jesus has come and He's gone. He's never left us or forsaken us. I understand that. But what I'm saying, in the form that He was in. And we don't no longer know Him in that image. How do I know Him today? If He's never left us or forsaken us, and He's been here all the time, where's He at? He's in a many-membered body, isn't He? And if I believe that, but I can only see it in me and nobody else, then I have no potentiality in Christ whatsoever at all. Zero. Let's go on, verse 30. Jesus said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it was written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. That's good. I love the word. Verse 33 again. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Revelation. Present day truth. Then said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. And that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. Can you imagine these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and the people around here in this? And they're talking about, you know, he's talking about what Moses gave them wasn't the bread. And he's saying, I am the bread of life. Yeah, well, you know what they did to him for speaking like that. And you know what they'll do to you for speaking like that. Can you say that I'm the bread of life? Come on, brethren. Are you the bread of life? If you're one with them, if you're born of God, brothers and sisters, you know. People are afraid to talk like that. There's something that draws back. But see, that's because there's a lack of faith. There's a lack of faith in God and His word and His works. And they have a fear to speak by the mind of Christ. And they're afraid to speak that. And I do know that you got to be careful speaking those things because people won't understand it. But what about Jesus when He said, hey, drink my blood and eat my flesh? His disciples had problems with that. And they departed from Him. So what about today? It's no different. Absolutely no different at all. Let's go on. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will. That's a revelation right there. But the will of Him that sent me. See, that's a present day truth. You got to come to that. But you want to take and work His work out and His callings out and His things out to fit in your will, your timing, your location, or whatever. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. But that's the way we have been taught and trained to do it. The ministry teaches people these things opposite of what He's saying here. I'm sorry to say it that way. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, beloved, now ye are the sons of God, and believeth on Him, may have everlasting life. If you can't believe that John Whitlow's the Son of God, you may not have everlasting life. If you can't believe that Gabriel's the Son of God, you may not have everlasting life. And you say, Brother Rob, you can't go there. I can't. They couldn't go there neither in their wise and prudent mind, could they? And they wanted to crucify and kill the Lord right then. Do you understand that? What is love? How did Brother Rob get there? Because I'm better than you? By God being good and better. So if He took me in my wretched, ignorant, no good state and washed me and cleansed me and made me whole and took me there, then why couldn't He do that to you? And if He done it to you, then why can't I recognize you as God's own Son? Beloved, now we are the sons of God. The world doesn't see you of what you are. That's what the Bible says. We're already the sons of God. So it's the world that doesn't see it. So if I don't see you as a son of God, then that means I'm the world. But I'm not the world. I'm a son of God. I've got the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation, the mind of the Lord, the mind of love. You say, well, Brother Rob, not everybody out there is a son of God. I understand that. But somewhere you're going to have to see the potentiality other than in you. And when it only lays in you and you alone, then you absolutely don't have it. Did Jesus see something in me when He chose me? He saw life. He spoke it and cultivated it and brought it forth. Somewhere you have to believe this yourself. But your thoughts have to be thinking who you are or you'll never achieve. Who are you, brothers and sisters? You're the sons of God. You're eternal. You pass from death unto life. You see, when you've passed from death unto life, that means you can't die. The Bible said that death is abolished. The last enemy of God was death. It's already abolished. People thinking, well, it's not abolished yet because they buried grandma, you know, or mama or daddy or somebody. You just don't understand. As I said, people could be sitting at the table with you and their world just come to an end. Just like that, and they don't know that. They're sitting there and their world is over. It's done. There is no chance in this world or the world to come that they could even find repentance. See, people don't believe that. You talk like that and people don't believe that, brethren. I'm telling you, but I've seen it happen. I've seen it take place. You see, somebody could receive the Spirit of life sitting right in your presence, and I mean the Holy Ghost enter into them, and they've received eternal life, and people won't even see that. Now, we've been trained in the Pentecostals that, oh, they're going to dance, they're going to speak in tongues, they're going to fall on the floor, or they're going to say the sinner's prayer, they're going to confess with their mouth, this and that. I was with my mother sitting in Brother Pike's kitchen. She's sitting at the table. And my dad's pressing me. Come on, we want to get your mother saved, man. Pray with her, pray with her. And he's pushing and pushing. And Brother Pike's real calm and just talking. And all of a sudden, the tears just started running down his face. He said, did you see that? He said, the Holy Ghost went right into your mother. You know, that's life. He said, I gave my whole life for that. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. He saw it. But there was something that happened. My wife was standing in his kitchen. And he looked at her and he said, sister, you'll never war with that ever again. Irene was intellectual. I'm not saying that in an ugly way, but I mean very studied. And she said, I'm having a real problem with this that we can't sin. And he started to stand. He goes, he stopped and he said, "You'll never war with that ever again." He said, "God just gave it to you." See, that's what life is, brethren. You see, there's a spirit life. I've had things enter into my spirit like that, at the snap of a finger, that it changed my countenance. I broke and I would be in the presence of men and different things and the tears just come down. But it was something that was revealed that you could not find in weeks and days of fasting and praying and reading your Bible and studying. It just pow, just like that. And it opened up another thing altogether. Brother Pike was speaking down in the print room one day, and there was very few people there, maybe three or four. And there was something that he said, and he saw it strike my spirit. And he said, "Brother, you're accountable to the whole world for that." He said, "Your life will be different from this moment forward because of that one revelation that you got right there." Could I speak it to you in 5 seconds? What come to me like that? And I couldn't begin to at all. Some of the things that we speak about, some of the things we talk about. We could read the word, we could present the word, we could preach, we could shout, we could dance, we could get excited, we could holler, swing our arms. But brethren, there's something beyond all the shouting and all the hollering. I like to preach, I like to raise my voice up, I like to get excited, I like to get charismatic someone, or I like to get into a camp meeting atmospheres and be evangelistic and shout. You know, sometimes that brings salvation to souls. I understand that. But brethren, there's something that has to make a contact with that inner quickening and that spirit. And it's got to make that contact to bring forth a substance. Brothers, you can't hide substance. It's going to come forth. Evidence is going to come forth. Manifestation is going to come forth. Fruit's going to come forth. It's going to come forth. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. Is the fruit upon your tree? Is the fruit in your life? Is the fruit in your speech? Is the fruit in your manifestations and thanks? Do you think I'm going to overcome not having fruit in my life by my expression? See, that's con. That's what con men do. They come up and say, "Oh, sir." You know, and they're going to convince you with their words. If you got to convince somebody that you're born again or got something just by your expression, then you've got a problem. Somebody needs to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They need to see the love of God in you. They need to see you about the Father's business. It's about others. Amen. Let me go on here. Verse 40. It says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." And the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Is not this John Whitlow the son of Gerald? Is not this Gabriel Griffin here? Isn't he the son of Peter Griffin?" You say, "Brother Rob, you're butchering the scriptures and the word of God." Am I? Am I butchering the word of God up here, brethren? You know, if we're the sons of God and he's given us the power to remit or to retain sin, and he commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel, and he sent us forth to lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. You know, brothers and sisters, then the thing is that we need to take our rightful place, but because we don't know who we are, we don't take our rightful place. And if you don't know who I am, or I don't know who you are, does that limit you? You can't limit me. You could hinder me, but you can't limit me. Because God will raise up somebody else that won't hinder me. You understand what I'm saying? We need one another, brethren. We need one another, and we need to learn how to work with one another, and we need to recognize, yes, the strengths, and we need to know the weaknesses, for we know how to work. If I got a weak area, you should be able to help me, if you're strong in that area. You should be able to help me in my weaknesses, and I should be able to help you in your weaknesses. And your strength should help me, and my strength should help you. See, we come together as a unity. I remember a man came to Bethlehem, minister of message. He was from Israel, but he was talking about a story where he was dying, and he had 6 children. He called all the 6 children into his deathbed. And he gave each one of them a stick, and he said, "Okay, listen to me." He said, "I want you to take your stick and break it." And they all did that. And then he pulled out 6 more sticks and gave it to them. And he said, "Now give these sticks to me." And he took twine, and he wrapped those sticks together and tied them together. And he said, "Now pass it around. I want you to break it." And they couldn't. You see, the unity, the strength. See, we need that, brethren, today. We need one another. We need each other. We need a brotherhood. We need to recognize that when we're outside of a brotherhood, we're weak. You remember the story about the minister that went to the man that was bent out of church? And he was sitting there by his fire, and the coal popped out of the fire. He sat down on the hearth of the mantle there, and the coal sat there. And the man saw that and watched that, and the Lord prompted it to him. And he said, "Sir, that's you." And he said, "Watch how it cools off and how it fades away." But he said, "Look at the other ones that are in the midst of the fire." You know what I'm saying? They stayed. And this is, you know, the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know, we got to stay within the fire. We need unity. We need the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord. And we need to help each other. This is important, brothers and sisters. Don't get yourself independent-minded. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came from heaven." Verse 41. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Now you see, brothers, they fought and warred with Jesus because he had a natural father, Joseph, and a natural mother, so to speak. Well, he can't be. How could he say that he was here before Abraham? And we know who he was. See, they do you the same way. But what did they limit? Did they limit him or did they limit themselves? Who got hurt for not believing who he is? Now you see how the potentiality in us, because we don't know the potentiality in them, or we don't know who we are because we don't know who they are. So I limit myself if I don't know who the sons of God are. I limit myself. Do you understand that? You say, "Well, you've been preaching this for 2 weeks, Brother Rob, but do you have the revelation of it yet?" See, when you got the revelation, it changes your life. It changes the way you look at things and how you deal with people. Who's indispensable? Who can we discard? Who can we put out? Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves." He could have went on a little farther. He said, "Don't you remember the murmuring and complaining when they come out of the wilderness? What happened?" Oh boy. I love the word of God. Y'all love the word? "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is the last day now. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." Was Jesus solely to that to himself? And I think about it. You know he wasn't. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." People have troubles with that. Where's the body of Christ today? Where's it at today? It's here. Now the whole church world teaches that, you know, we're the church, we're the body of Christ. Okay, so where are we going to find life at? Where are we going to eat of this life at? Is it any different what he was saying to them then to today? Choose not to eat of this and you die. I know this is simple. Simplicity, brothers and sisters. The Bible said the word of God, the sword is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit, bones and the marrow. And the thing is there's things that we say as far as the east is from the west, but then yet it takes a sword to divide it. You say it's as far as east is from west, but then yet you step and look again in another dimension, it takes the sword of the Spirit to rend it. You see, the theologians don't know the difference between the soul and the spirit. Many of them say, if you go and read in their books and their things and the intellect, they'll say, "Hey, there's no difference between the soul and spirit. You could use the words interchangeably." You see, the thing is I could say, well, there's no difference in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're one. The Bible says that. But then yet I differentiate them in mind of Christ and revelation. I differentiate them and put them apart, but they're still one. Not three person, they're still one. And the thing is there's things like that when we get into God. And see, I'm taking the time to rend a veil here, or to take this sword of the Spirit and rend a veil. And see, people that would only be in the mind of Christ or the revelation of the Lord could perceive this. It has to come from the Father. See, we get drawn up, brothers and sisters, because we want this one added to the kingdom. We want this one added to the kingdom because it's my mother, my brother, my son, my daughter, whatever it is. And we want this one in. But it says that they don't come unless the Father draws. And you got to find peace in that. Who are you to find fault with God? We think too oriented to our own little finite little worlds, brother. This is here for a minute and it's gone. This world, brothers and sisters, is nothing but a vexation of the spirit world. And when you're finding the only exuberance that you've got in the things of this world, then you've never experienced God. You see, you say, man, Brother Rob, your ministry and the way you live in this world, you know, there's no exuberance, there's no fun, there's no excitement. See, you've just been lured by fleshly lust for the things of this world and lose your soul. I've got people that should be in this church tonight, but they have the love of the world in their heart, but they want to confess Christianity. They're not turned on unless it's something that's fleshly, something that they could consume naturally. And their mind is just continually drawing and desiring and wanting. Young people deal with that more so than there's elderly people deal with that too. But what I'm saying, young people have to learn. The Bible said, serve God while you're in your youth, because your youthful mind will be desiring the things that it sees, the things of this world, and you'll be wanting to grab that. Am I trying to separate you from the world? Yes, I am. We're still living in this world. We still have to eat. There's Bible and word for marriage, yes, and these things, but we're going to find the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord first and find out. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in a mess, in a real mess. I hope when you're seeking a husband or when you're seeking a wife that you've considered God and talk to Him. Because I'm telling you what, so many people don't. They consider what they desire. He looks like what I want. I like him. You know, my wife and I were both heathens when we come together. God helped us, saved us, set us apart, bonded us, put us together. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, you say one thing and then you say another. Let me tell you something. God put us together. Well, can he have his way before you're ever born again? Sure he can. Because he's looking down a lot farther road than what you're looking at. I seen a pretty little old gal and he's seen a pastor's wife. You say, well, I appreciate you saying that, Brother Rob. I could go and be carnal now like you was, and when you found her, God will give me the right one. Maybe not. He was showing mercy on me. Amen. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh and it to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, and the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So oftentimes we are so fleshly and we want to take everything to the flesh, and that profiteth just for a little teeny moment. The Bible says a vapor and a mist, and then it vanisheth away. The Spirit's eternal, brothers and sisters. Some are a living soul and some are a quickening spirit. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. He said he knew from the beginning. So did he know that Judas believed not from the beginning? The guys go line upon line. So when he chose 12 and one of them was a devil, he knew he was choosing a devil? What would he have done that for? Now think about it. I mean, I'm presenting it as a question. What would he have done that for? I believe I understand it. I understand that. I know why. Do you want me to explain it? Would you like me to share that? Should I share that? Maybe I shouldn't share that. Maybe it might cause you to stumble. Verse 64, let's go on. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Find rest in that scripture. You have to find rest in that scripture right there. People get all tore up and they're frantic, this, that. Find peace. The Lord is going to add in whatsoever he will. That doesn't mean we don't travail. That don't mean we don't preach. It doesn't mean that we don't push. But man, get peace in your spirit. You understand that? You have to have peace. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back. I guess that's where some get their term backslid right there. They went back. You know what we teach on that. I'm just using the term. And walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Think of the heartbreak in that. Think of what he felt. Can you feel his infirmity for a moment? Can you feel it for just a second? You know how he felt? He felt all alone. Then he said, unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. That's the purpose and the plan of God, wasn't it, brethren? Let me ask you a question. If we're going to take, are we going to just bring the revelation of what's good for me, what's good for you, for we could just be exuberant in the flesh? Or are we going to have to bring that into the expression today too? If we're going to talk about a resurrection, we've got to talk about a crucifixion. If we're going to talk about bringing forth eternal life, we're going to have to talk about being crucified all the day long. So do you think that God would suffer to have a devil among us to crucify you and to crucify me on a given day basis? Would God choose one? And I mean, they might look like one of us, brethren. They might look like they're chosen, just like us. I mean, there's 12 of them, they're chosen, but one was a devil. You understand what I'm saying? Oh my, could I be the devil? Hey, the 12, they would question that. Going to some other passage of scripture, they're saying, oh man, is it me, Lord? Is it going to be me? But brethren, you see, we have to learn to understand these things. Do you realize that if you're not being crucified today, nobody sees the power of resurrection? Do you know that if somebody's not hating you today, you will not be able to show the power of love tomorrow? How are you going to understand love unless somebody hates you? How are you going to understand the difference between them? Somebody's going to have to hate you. Somebody's going to have to speak evil of you. Somebody's going to have to crucify you. This is revelation of the Lord. This is the revealing of Christ today. But you see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and these great men of God, this Sanhedrin and all that, who do you think you are? You ain't nobody. You ain't nothing. I know who your father is. I know who your mother is. You know, you're just a carpenter. And they're crucifying life. And that was what brought life to others. Do you realize that? It has to go that way. You have to find peace in it. You got to have rest in it, or you're alive. If you're crucified like we teach, then you find yourself dead. And when you're dead, you find life. And you say, God, this is your plan. This is your will. This is the will of God. What is God's will for you today? What is God's will for you? You understand that? So the thing is why do we so easily discount the scriptures? Why? Why do we so easily read these things and we want to make them 2,000 years old and we go right on by it? Why don't we bring the Word alive today? He is the I Am. He is now. He is the revelation of Jesus Christ today. He's on the earth today. He's walking in the flesh. There, you're Antichrist. So if you don't believe that God is walking in the flesh today, then you're Antichrist. Is that Bible? It's the Word of God. So what do you mean Christ in the flesh today? We're a many-membered body. So if I can't recognize Christ, then I have no eyes to see. I don't have a father. I'm a bastard child according to the scriptures. And if I'm continually crucifying the body of the Lord, then what does that make me? I'm asking you. What does it make me? What is Satan, the accuser of the brethren? So either we're going to have one of two testimonies. Either I'm of God, and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm loving my enemies, and doing good to them. Or I'm either of my father, the devil. Which one is it? Choose ye this day who you are. You know, you want to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, you want to talk about the mysteries of God. You know, somebody tell me that this is not a mystery to them. What I just spoke about today. Just simply reading what Jesus said. Is this a mystery? Surely it's a mystery. You know, you want to make these mysteries so far out there somewhere. But it is a mystery. It's hid from the wise and the prudent. They cannot recognize you as the Son of God. The Bible says it very clearly. I can take you to other passages of scriptures. They don't know who you are because they don't know who He is. And if they knew who He was, they would know who you are. Do you realize that? When you're born of God, your eyes become open. You pass from death unto life. The shucks are removed from your eyes. What are the shucks? What are the blinders? Carnality, flesh, lust, worldly things, prestige, pride. Why don't we read our Bibles? When we see envy and strife and jealousy and hate and animosity and anger and vengeance and venom and drunkenness and all this stuff continually basis, why don't we just say, oh, that they accepted Jesus as our Savior? You know? No, they're dead. So what we do is we receive life. What is life? What is the fruit of this life? What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love. It's joy. It's gentleness and patience and long-suffering and kindness. Well, you kind of got off of there. No, those are all part of the fruit of God, brothers and sisters. You're not going to take holiness out of it. He is holiness. He is the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of truth. Spirit of power. Can we only love people that meet up to our expectation? If we can only love people that meet up to what our expectation of Christianity is or what people are supposed to be, then we don't know what love is. God loved me when I was a wretched, filthy dog, rolling around in muck and vomit and manure, however you want to express it. And He reached down to the uttermost. Look at Brother Paul, the things that he was doing before. And God loved him so much, and He took the shucks off of his eye on a street called Straight. Amen. While He was persecuting him and trying to kill him. You understand that? That's love, brothers and sisters. But why is it when you don't do what you think you should do or what I think you should do or somebody don't do what, and then all of a sudden you feel justified for hate and animosity? Where's love in that? Brethren, we need to find out what love is. You know, it's easy for me to preach a message like this, but I got to deal with the things that we're talking about tonight. I could step into the flesh real fast, just like that. I could get vengeance. I can get wrath. Well, some of that's God. Well, no, you just take those things. And you know, He said, vengeance is mine. When does He give it to me? Well, I'm God. I think God wants me to slap that individual. I asked Him, He wouldn't let me. What part is God manifesting today? Grace. We're in a dispensation of grace. When is God going to have us showing this wrath? Now, I know judgment begins in the house of God. And yes, the minister could be grieved. Not profitable for the people to grieve a man of God. But they don't believe that. But I say it's not profitable. And the thing is, they may not see the consequences of it, but they will find it. I'll promise you that. Why you say that, Brother Rom? Because I've been one to grieve the preacher before. That's why I say those things. Am I saying those things to you for you won't grieve me? No, I'm saying those things. I've grieved the preacher before. And I think, oh my God, have mercy on me. I don't think there's a man in here who could say they haven't grieved a preacher before. Or a woman. Oh, I don't know, man. I was his best friend. We were buddies. Oh, yeah. I seen him put his finger in one of his buddies' face and went around the world with him and many times and all over, and he rebuked him. Amen. Brethren, let's take heed to the scriptures, to the word. Let's unveil it. Let's find out. Let's quit making the revelation of Jesus Christ unattainable. Brother Pike preached the revelation of the Lord Jesus. That was the thrust of his ministry. The thrust of his whole ministry was to bring you to know who you were and who you are in Christ. That was the thrust of his whole ministry, to know that you're born of God and who you are in Christ. It wasn't something, yes, he went into some depths of stuff, launched off out into way out there, gone into things and saw things, brethren, but the thrust of his ministry was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you could realize that message and bring Christ in you, then the fruit of the Spirit of God is going to be made known in the earth. In you. It's going to be seen. It's going to be understood. It's going to be attainable. And they'll draw life and eat of that same flesh, of that same bread in this day, and they'll have life. That scripture has to come past today. We are part of a many-membered body, brothers and sisters. And the thing is, we got to understand that. We got to come to the revelation of that. That we must eat of this, the need of one another. The need of unity, the need of a brotherhood. The unity of the sons of God, brothers and sisters, from the book of Acts. And we go in there and find them in one mind and one accord. And the Holy Ghost came. We could talk about that as something that took place 2,000 years ago. But we got to have that same unity today. I don't think they were in there chiding with one another, one being esteemed greater than another. This, that, they came in need and prayer. And they prayed and they were endued with power. Brothers and sisters, if Christian temple isn't doing the things that it needs to be doing, then it's one reason, and it's not the preacher's fault, it's not Brother Ed's fault or Brother Chuck's fault, it's because we haven't unified in the mind of Christ. And the thing is we got to be careful, we got to guard over fellowship, we got to guard over our minds and over the thought and the unity, and when we find strife and discord and hate and all those things, we cannot eat of it, we cannot be partakers of it, because the only one that's going to destroy is you. Eating bitterness will destroy you and you alone. As Brother Jesse said, you eating of the poison and hoping the other one dies. That's not good. You need to fall in love with the Lord and let him be real. Let him be alive. And the only way you're going to find the life is in the many-membered body of Christ. And that's where your strength, that's where the bread's at. You ain't going to get it out there any other way. You got to eat of this body and be partakers of it. You won't find it anywhere else. You saying solely in Christian temple church? That ain't what I said. You say, well, I think it's out there in other churches. Well, let me tell you something. You eat of that body when there's no holiness there, and you'll eat of a body of corruption and death and carnality, and it destroyed. And the mother of that body is the Catholic Church. I know that sounds offensive. These other bodies out there are daughters of the great whore. They call themselves Christian. They call themselves Baptist. They call themselves Methodist. They call themselves Assembly of God. They call themselves Church of God. They call themselves Pentecostal Holiness. There's no name excluded here, brothers and sisters. I could go on and on and on. The thing is you got to find life in Christ. When you found it in a denomination, that's not the real life. Even though in the denomination there'll be life there, but it's not in the denomination. It manifested in the denomination. But when the denomination departs from that life, then you have to depart from that denomination. You understand that? And the thing is there's many great denominations that came up all over the world. But when they departed the founding doctrines of Christ and preached another doctrine, the Bible said, let them be accursed. Brethren, we need to be careful. You see, I think of Bethlehem and Brother Pike and the church and the greatness there. But then yet I find that many of the people that sat under the same pastor departed the faith, departed the word, departed the truth. I can't go sit with them no more. They were my brothers in fellowship with them, but I can't sit with them no more. If you perceive there's no understanding in man, you depart from him. You understand that? You depart from him when there's no understanding. Well, what is understanding? Eat of the flesh and drink of the blood. That's life. Have you partaken of the bread of life? Or have you crucified the flesh of life and been not partakers? Got to be careful. I'm telling you, brethren, there's some things that we have to be so careful of. You know, people could listen to this and, boy, Brother Rob is just really bringing this to himself. You know, you've missed the whole revelation of everything I said. I brought to him. Myself is dead. If I got life, it's in him, not in me. Not in what I know, it's in him, it's him alone. You understand that? The life is in the flesh and in the blood. And to drink, it become meat and drink. And when it becomes meat and drink unto you, and you partake of it, then you have life. But if you don't, the manna was an allegory in the Old Testament. The manna was an allegory of this life. And if they took that, it sustained that life. But this is another life. But it's hid from the wise and the prudent. They'll never see it. They'll never know it. They'll never understand it. They'll talk about it. They'll talk around it. They'll talk about revelation. They'll talk about what they know and what they think they know and who they are, or who he was or who she was, and esteem another great. But you know, brothers and sisters, it's simple. It's not complicated. It's simple. And it brings peace. It brings joy. It brings salvation. It brings things that people are striving for. When you don't find peace in a spirit, then God's not there. When there's not peace in the spirit, Jesus was settled. There was peace. And we got scriptural references when all these things were around about him, when the waves were rising up and they were bailing the boat out and scared to death. He was asleep. He had peace. You understand that? So with the world going to pot, so to speak, and the world falling, families falling apart, and divorce rates skyrocketing, and all this stuff, you got to have peace. My failures doesn't justify no peace in your life. Your failures don't justify no peace in my life. You see, we have peace. We're steady. We're steadfast. We're not given to change. We're not up today and down tomorrow. We're not angry and screaming. We're not vengeant. We're not wrath. We're not this. You know, there's peace. What about these people with this peace, Brother Rob? Do they ever get upset? Do they ever raise up their voice? The Bible said we raise up our voice like a trumpet. There is a time of that. But if that's all you hear, then is that God? Is that the Spirit of God? What raised up the voice? We got to right find out what it is. You remember when I shared with you? You know, when I received a letter that they were praying and hoping that I would die this gruesome death, slow death and painful death. And this is what they said they was praying for me to die this way. Where's God in that? Where's the love of God in that? Somebody I know is full of devil. I don't pray like that. I think God saved their soul. Have mercy. But the thing is all of a sudden I felt something rise up in my flesh. And I thought, you know what? I got right. The Bible said rebuke them sharply. And I started writing a letter. And God said to me, he spoke this as clear as I'm talking to you. The righteous indignation of God in me does not justify fleshly animosity. That's a revelation that you have got to come to. I had to come to it and I still have to come to it. That wasn't a spoken word 2 years ago or whatever it was. 2 years ago and I don't apply it today. That's something I got to apply today. And this is why when I was told that I was praying today, I say, Lord God, don't let me teach, don't let me preach out of some kind of a fleshly animosity or fleshly anger or because I'm upset or somebody's hurt or grieved or crucified me. Don't let me do that. Let me preach the gospel of one thing and one thing only out of love of God. And know that God has a reason for all things and does all things after his will and after his counsel. So if he raises up a devil in my midst, I say, so be it, Lord. But I got to watch. When the devil rises up and causes others to fall, evil communication, corrupt good manners, then I've got a fight on my hands. But I got to do it in love. Got to do it in love. Your communication, brother, your communication, sister, can kill and you could have blood on your hands. As I said, I've had visions of even parents with their children's blood dripping off their hands. It's sad. That's heartbreaking, brothers and sisters. I shared a vision with, or not a vision, a thing with you about a man, and it was in our church. And his son got raised up, boy, and he went up to a man and started rebuking him and yelling at him and threatening like he's going to whoop him, this and that. And the dad said, boy, chip off the old block, man. That's my son right there, boy. And I love the brother, both of them. They're my friends, but what I'm saying, I'm not looking at this as a fleshly man thinking, yeah, man, don't let nobody push you around. You show them who you are. See, that's what a man would do. But I looked at it through the mind of Christ, the mind of love, and I said, you know what? Here's a dad thinking, man, just like me, praise God. And I'm looking at it like, my God, that's the thing that's going to put your son in hell. Why didn't the dad see that? Why? Because we're blind and don't have eyes to see. Why do people like it when their children are like them? Do you understand that? Why do people like that? Well, I like myself and I like the way I am. Well, you're in trouble then. You're in trouble when you like yourself. Because we're the enemy of God. We are fleshly and raised up in the image of the beast. And we got to despise that image and call forth life in Christ. You say, Brother Robbie, I don't understand you. You're preaching one minute, I'm a son of God. Amen. And they got to drink my blood and eat my flesh for they can have life. And the next minute, you're making me the devil. You're getting a revelation, man. Praise God. You're coming to some understanding. Maybe I could close at that. Amen. I love you and appreciate you. If you can't rend the veil, if you come to church and feel like the preacher's beating you up, it's because you're still alive. You understand that? But if you could get dead, then you're going to find the part that's life and you're going to find it strengthening. That innermost being, that quickening. Because there's quickening spirit that goes forth from the sacred desk. And it's going to bring a life and a quickening to you. And you're going to realize your responsibility. You're going to realize who you are and what you can do. And you're not limited. Only if you limit an unlimited God. And you'll realize that. But you see, the thing is the thing that gets in the way is not me or you. It is the carnal mind that gets in the way of God and hinders him. Well, you can't do that. Who said you can't do that? Boy, that's something that cuts me fast. When people say, I can't do that. That bothers me. Well, Brother Rob, I can't lie. That didn't bother me. You know, lying upon lying, amen. But you know what? When a man says that he can't do something, it troubles me. Well, you know, I can't wear a dress. Well, you could, but you better not. Amen. Don't tell me you can't. I'll go get you one. No. I think you know what I'm saying. I love you and appreciate it. Let's stand together. I'm sorry for keeping you all so long this evening. Keep the ones that aren't here this evening. Some of the brethren working out of town. Got jobs going out of town and different things. Pray for them. Pray that God bless them. Let their jobs be fruitful and multiply and bring an increase to them. Brethren, we need to consider, we need to pray, we need to examine, we need to check. Don't let the word of God that goes forth in this church offend you. Let it bring life and bring strength to you. That's what it's for. That's the purpose. I don't preach a message to hurt nobody. I don't want to offend anybody. But I want to differentiate between the life of your first birth and the life of the Christ, the hope of glory. And when you can learn to differentiate it, and when God shows you something, don't take it to yourself. Push your chest out or feel good or confident like that. See, God gets no glory in that. When your revelation makes you better than somebody else, it's not a revelation from God. A revelation from God makes you the least. That's a revelation. When you really could come to a revelation of that, I know you hear it said, you hear me say it, I heard Brother Pike say it, but that's got to become a revelation. I'm telling you, that has to come a revelation. You see, if I'm esteeming myself great, then I'm working in selfishness. I'm working in what's good for me and what's good for around me. But when we make the others greater and become the least, then we're bringing prosperity to the kingdom and the kingdom of God. And then God raises things up and people up. He raises them up. And that's where he says, when you lift yourself up to the cross, he'll draw all men unto him. That's the only time we lift ourselves up is to the cross of Calvary. We take it to the cross. And just remember, when you get to the cross, somebody had to be there to crucify you. Just remember that and count it all joy. Amen. And rejoice in the Lord. Amen. There has to be a Judas. Has to be. Has to be a Judas, brethren. Has to be. I'm sorry. They didn't like him then. And Judas, he'll do the same thing he done then. He'll take and he'll throw the money back in the floor. He'll sell out and he'll hang himself. I'm sorry. Find out who you are in him. and let Jesus be alive. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's sing a song and we'll close the service.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.